Bishus Marina, Rav Shlita. Thank you. Mezuzah. Mezuzah is not just a mitzvah which is 24/7, it's also an amazing protection. Well known is the story of Unculus, who broke away from his background, and the emperor tried to win him back, sending soldiers to bring him back, and he managed to persuade them each time and convert them himself to Judaism. So when the emperor sent the next lot to bring back his nephew, he said, "Don't even talk to him, just bring him back." And as Unculus was leaving with them, he kissed the mezuzah and he said to them, "You know what this is?" He says, "In all places around the world, the servants are outside protecting the king inside. We have it the other way round. The king is outside protecting us inside." And it's very clear from the Gemara in Menachos, Mem Gimel, the mezuzah is a protection. So much so that if you do not have a mezuzah on your door, we say you are putting yourself in a sakona, in a danger. The actual name of Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, which we write on the mezuzah, has the Rashi Tavis, Shomer Daltos Yisrael, the protector of the doors of Israel. And we know from the Makas Bechoros that we were protected by putting blood on the doorposts. And the Mechilta says in Parshas Bo Yud Aleph, this was just a temporary one-off command. And it wasn't even for a day and a night, not for generations. How much more so is the power of the mezuzah which we put on the doorpost, which contains 10 times the name of Hashem. You have it day and night, 24/7, Ladoras, what a wonderful protection that is. And it's hinted at in the Ramah and said by a number of poskins that the mezuzah is not just a protection for you when you're in your house, but when you actually leave your house and you're going about your daily life, whether you're in the car or you're working out in a gym or you're going for a walk, you're jogging, you are being protected by your mezuzah. And the mezuzah has 713 letters in it, the number of words used by Moshe Rabbeinu to try and avert the divine wrath, Shuv Mecharona Pecho, which we read in Shemos Lamud Beis. What I'm going to concentrate on today in particular are practical modern day problems relating to mezuzah. We know the general basic dinim, a mezuzah is only really for a room which is 4x4 amas. A mezuzah is only when you have a doorpost on each side and a mashgaf, a lintel on top. You have to have a ceiling for your room, you have to have a door, it's got to be at least 10 tefachim high, the mezuzahs, and it's a diras keva, it's a diras covered, you won't put one on a toilet or a bathroom, and so on. So what we're going to do is have a look at some illustrations later. It doesn't matter if you haven't got, but it might make it a bit easier. The purpose of a mezuzah then, apart from the mitzvah, it's a constant reminder. It sharpens our awareness of Hashem and His presence and imbues our life with Kedusha. I once went into a shop in Tel Aviv. I wanted to buy a mezuzah case, but my Ivrit was not very good. So when I was asking for a mezuzah case, I was really asking for a mezuzah. So the fellow in Ivrit said to me, "Do you want to have a printed one or do you want to have a handwritten one?" So I said, "What are you talking about? A printed one is puzzle." And he said, "Yes, I know, but it's cheaper." And it is quite amazing that people try to economize with their mezuzahs and they buy very cheap, tiny ones without realizing that there are many problems with these tiny ones, because since they're so small, letters might be joined and there may be other mistakes. And if they would just spend that much more, you know, when you consider how many mitzvahs you've got, kol rega v'rega, every single second you're getting a mitzvah, and you work out how many seconds there are in a minute and in an hour in a day, and you've got 10 or 15 mezuzahs in your house, it's phenomenal how many mitzvahs you're doing with your mezuzah. It's worthwhile just spending that bit more to get a decent kind of mezuzah. It's very rare to have a good mezuzah smaller than this kind of size, where you can see every letter very clearly. And yet people seem to be worried about cost. All right, one doesn't have to change all one's mezuzahs in one. Just get in one go, one can do it in phases. But it's certainly worthwhile. These very small mezuzahs often have a very shiny surface. And the reason why they do that is because it can make the writing on it much more quicker. And it takes only 20 minutes to write one of these small mezuzahs which have a very soft surface. and whereas those which have the more porous, dull-looking surface, it can take 4 hours to write a mezuzah, to do it properly. And in recent years, there's come about a problem of silk screen mezuzahs, and it's very hard to tell. In fact, it's impossible for the layman to tell when you go and buy a mezuzah in a shop whether it was done by this method. What is silk screening? They have like a stencil which is computer generated with the letters cut out inside it, where there are very, very tiny holes in these letters, and they place it on a frame on top of the parchment, and they just brush over, say with a sponge, the ink, and take off the stencil, and you have a written mezuzah, or it looks written, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between that mezuzah and any other mezuzah. And that's why it's important to buy a mezuzah from a reliable source. This method of silk screening, one might argue, well, you know, it's a written mezuzah, it's not printed, it's done with ink. But there are a number of problems with this, and Rav Eliashiv and Rav Vozna, and some of the leading poskim, who said that such a mezuzah is possible. First of all, it's not b'derech k'sivah. It says, "Uchasavtom al mezuzos beisecha." You shall write. And there's a Rishalmi, Gittin Beis, Gimel, and also in Shabbos Yud Beis, which refers to this word of writing, hakosei velo hashofeich, not that you pour the ink on, you have to write the ink on. In addition, well, every single Shem Hashem, which is written on a mezuzah, has to be written the Shema before writing, and the Chachila, every word should be pronounced before writing. And the words have to be written in order. So even if somebody claims that the sponge went on from right to left, the words are not being written in order. There is another issue which is brought out by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Before the mezuzah is written, one has to have what's called a sirtut, the straight lines, equidistant, scratched into the mezuzah, as well as the margins. And so the Igrish Moshe writes in Chelek Dalad Tzilin Mem that if the writing is done without the need for a sirtut, for this engraving of lines, then the mezuzah is possible. You need that sirtut there to facilitate the writing, and both of them need to be there. So even if the silk screening is done on a sirtut, you don't really need the sirtut because of the way that it's being written. Now, how do you tell? You can only buy from a reliable source to tell that your mezuzah is kosher. A method which I also adopt when I go into a shop is, even if I only need one mezuzah, I ask for two to look at, because they're often from a similar batch or from a similar source, and I compare them, and if you see the letters are exactly the same on each of them, then you know either it's a printed mezuzah or it's a silk screened mezuzah. Because any proper handwritten mezuzah, even from the same sofa, will always have some slight difference in a letter or two, with a shape or the size of a letter projecting a bit more of an angle one way or another way. And that is a very useful way of telling. Another thing is that with silk screening, the ink that they use is not the traditional afatzim ink, as it's called. They use an enamel-based paint, which is unsuitable. There. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I understand from the experts that this kind of enamel-based paint are letters which can even come off quite easily. They can even literally jump off, as it were. We have to do what we can to protect the kashrus of our mezuzahs, and the din is you have to examine them twice every 7 years or once every 3.5 years. Otherwise, you could go along your whole lifestyle without realizing, your whole lifetime without realizing that a mezuzah might be just the upside down. And this checking, this basic checking, hasn't really have to be done with the sofa. It's to check the letters are not touching each other, that the weather hasn't got into them and spoilt them. Sometimes the sunlight can cause harm, sometimes the rain can cause harm. And it's a good idea just to make sure that this checking is done frequently for that problem. A practical issue, not a halachic one, is that to protect mezuzahs from dampness, many people wrap their mezuzahs up in cling film or cellophane. There are some poskim who are not keen on it because of the din of chatzitza, but most agree that it's okay, and in fact it's a good protection. But a well-known sofa from Israel, Rav Moshe Flumenbaum, advises people not to use cellophane or cling film, because it can enhance condensation. Just like you see steam on the other side of the window in the rain, where the dampness penetrates, so it's possible for dampness to penetrate that you've got steam coming on the other side of the cellophane, and he recommends that you wrap up your mezuzah inside baking paper, which is damp resistant. What I'm going to do now is discuss various kinds of issues where mezuzah goes. I've handed around these. And the
Before you put the film around it, that was in a warm, dry atmosphere. That would be the way to do it. The water can't go into the film, but it can condense from within if it's
there. I'm not a technician on that, but his opinion is that you can still get dampness coming on the other side of the cellophane.
I think it is true. Once you sealed it in something which is dry, there's no water, there's no condensation.
But it can seep in. It depends how well you seal it. Even with a cling film, if you put it inside the roll of the thing, it's still loose unless you stick it down somewhere.
If you wrap it well, then it should be all right.
Why can't you laminate it?
Pardon?
Why can't you laminate
it? You've got to be rolled up.
No. You laminate
it. Lamination would be...
You've got perfect kosher mezuzah. You laminate it and roll it.
Well...
And then you can do whatever you want with it.
Well, I think there are a number of problems with lamination, apart from tzitzit, which we've discussed. If a mezuzah should be rolled towards the shaka at the beginning...
Very thin.
A thin lamination. And the letters wouldn't crack as a result... I think the problem with lamination is that it's actually stuck to the parchment, whereas when you wrap in cellophane or baking paper, it's not stuck to it, and that could poisel it. But, I mean, when there's shilas of chatzitza coming up, then that I think would certainly be an issue, whereas when it's a loose piece of cellophane, it's not such an issue of chatzitza. There are some people who like to show their mezuzahs as beautiful pieces of artwork unrolled, although it's not possible, it's not the correct way, and the mezuzah should be rolled up. People like to see the bare... I mean, it is a hiddur to actually see the bare mezuzah, so that it's nice to have a case which is transparent, such as glass or plastic, and that you see the bare mezuzah with shakai written on it, but that can create problems outdoors. Sunlight can be more dangerous and injurious to the mezuzah than rain by shining on a mezuzah and affecting the ink. Now, we're going to discuss various kinds of openings and doorways. Yes?
Is it a problem of erasing the first brother's name if you have such a mezuzah, which is if the sunlight gets to it and fades the writing? Or for eliminating, you can't read it or whatever. It is a problem,
but if Islam actually erases the name, you haven't done anything direct to do that, but you will try l'chachila to make sure there is protection in advance, that where you know the sun comes around, that it will be given adequate protection. There are nasty elements out there, particularly in this country, and one must use all endeavours to make sure that the mezuzah is not damaged. The mezuzah, as I said, is a protection as well as a mitzvah. Sometimes when you have a long doorway with long side posts, the question can be where you put the mezuzah. It's all part of the two side post entrance. The ideal is to put it as near as possible to the outside, because the mezuzah is a protection. So the more outside you put the mezuzah, the more inside you have a protection. Now, a very common thing you see nowadays are archways. We'll come to archways in a moment, because we've got them on the third page. Let's look at the first page. You've got there a folding door. Now, a folding door also acts as a kind of partition, because it stretches all the way along the opening so that you can make one large room into two. And the problem with a folding door is that if you put the mezuzah on the door. Well, it says al mezuzos beisecho. The mezuzah has to go on the side posts, which are not movable. The door is not the place on which you put the mezuzah, and the door is movable. So if you put the mezuzah on the door, surely it's not the right place. On the other hand, if you put the mezuzah on the door post, which is more than a tefach away from the edge of that door, then that space between the edge of the door and the side post is like a, it's like filled in, it's like a wall. And yeah, and therefore it's not something you walk through, and therefore can you really put it on the side post, which is already far away from the start of the door? It's discussed by a number of recent poskim, and the Sefer Otzer Piskei Mezuzah brings down the best thing to do maybe is just have it on the door, but you don't make a bracha. There is an opinion you don't put one on at all, because there is no mezuzah, there is no side post, because the side post which does exist for the door is too far away. So the best is if it can be within a tefach of the edge of the door. But it's not always possible. Sefer Chovas Hadar brings down that you put it on the door without a bracha. There is an opinion that you still put it on the side post, but that seems to be the prevailing view. A very common problem you see nowadays when people install UPVC doors is that you don't really have much of a side door post with any thickness. It's a very thin door post, and there isn't really an easy space for you to put the mezuzah in order that it faces inwards, faces sideways. Because when we say the chasavtam al mezuzos beisecho, the mezuzah should be on your side at 90 degrees when you come in on your right hand side. And what a lot of people seem to be doing, and you can see that over here, is that people are putting mezuzahs not on the inside of the doorpost, but achurei hadelis, which is called outside. As you come in, it's on your right hand side, but it's facing the street, and it's not facing inwards towards the door. According to most Rishonim, it's possible. It's not fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah at all. And because it's possible, the Mukhei Yosef, Rambam holds this, say there's a chashash sakana, because people are living many, many years in a house without a mezuzah on their front door. The question is, how do we overcome this problem if the side post is so thin that it cannot easily accommodate a mezuzah? It may be possible sometimes to actually build an additional little frame around the surrounds to enable, facilitate a mezuzah. Or behind the hinges where the door opens in the recessed area, you may be able to fit a mezuzah. You might not easily get a mezuzah case, but you might be able to wrap up a mezuzah very well and put it in there. You might not manage to use nails. It's best to use nails when you fix a mezuzah, but poskim say that strong glue is also good enough, just something which will make sure it does not come off easily. But it is a problem, and I envisage that it will still take another 10 or 20 years till the manufacturers of the sukkah roofs will dream up a UPVC entrance door with a special hollow part inside, because a mezuzah can be put in a hollow inside up to one tefach where you might not even see it, although then it should have some cover to indicate that there is a mezuzah there, like you'll put a shin on it or some siman that there is a mezuzah behind it. But you can recess a mezuzah up to one pesach inside a doorway, and that is also a practical thing when there are areas where there is vandalism or mezuzahs get stolen or broken, that you can actually bury the mezuzah inside the hollow of a side post. If we look over onto number three, you've got there a large hedge. This is called a geder chai, a large hedge. Now, does this require a mezuzah? If it does, it would be a bit difficult to know where to put it or how to fix it. But the poskim there say that as it's there, the shem noi, it is something as an attractive, decorative landscape feature. So it's not really l'shem pesach, because it is a proper doorway. And therefore, the Maharsham writes to Simon Shimonai base that you do not need a mezuzah on such a decorative hedge. However, the Minchas Yitzchok in Chelet Yud, Sadi Dalad, does say, in line with the Chazon Ish in Yerodei HaKufayim base, that there should be some sort of mezuzah, because it does represent a doorway. you could bring this question forward to an Eruv. If you have an Eruv for Shabbos with side posts and a top cord, maybe you should have a mezuzah on that if it's a doorway. But the poskim is saying, no, you don't need it, because it's not mishtameres. It's not like a doorway which is to give you some sort of protection or special opening, even though it is symbolically a kind of entrance. Lower down on number four, you've got the gates of a playground, where you've got this kind of metal trellis in the gate, and also above, you don't really have a proper mashkof, a proper lintel. Is it called a mashkof or isn't it? If you don't have a mashkof, then you're potter, simon resh pei zayin aleph, and then you don't need mezuzah. On the other hand, there is something there, there is something which marks the top of the gate. So there, in that situation, where you've got the kind of metal trellis, there is a mashkof. But if you have gates leading into a playground, and you have nothing above those gates, then really you don't need a mezuzah, because there is no lintel.
An outside gate would need one.
No.
An outside gate would need one. If you have a lintel, it says Uvisha Orecha on your doorpost and on your gates, so there is a mitzvah on your gates as well, but you have to have a lintel as well as side posts. Now a common thing that people have are archways nowadays. In the more decorative features of Hampstead Garden suburb, you might see a large archway when you come into a private garden. And the question there is where do you actually put your mezuzah? Because sometimes the archway has a very great curve in it, and the actual straight parts of your side posts are very limited indeed. Sometimes you've just got tefachim, like the height of this table, being straight side posts, and then the curve starts for you for your archway. So the question is, where do you put your mezuzah? Do you say that the curve is part of your side post? And if so, where is your lintel? Or do you say no, that the curves are part of the lintel, and that the side posts are really just the straight part? And the view is really the latter. Your side posts for your mezuzah are the bits which are absolutely straight, 90 degrees to the ground, perpendicular, and as soon as the curve starts, that is called your mashkuf, that is called your lintel. So the absurdity of it is that your mezuzah could end up being very low down. Because if your side posts only go up 10 tefachim, and that is the minimum shear, then that 10 tefachim, and your mezuzah only goes up a third of the way up. So your mezuzah, that can be really anywhere in the top third. And the shach says ideally it should be in the lowest part of the top third. And you can see that's the way it's been done here on this Beis HaMedrash, without exactly measuring it. The mezuzah should not be in the very top tefach. Tefach being about 4 inches. So when you've got only 10 tefachim for your archway being straight, and your mezuzah goes in your top third, but not in your top tefach, then your mezuzah goes very low down indeed. And you wouldn't, you'd hardly see it. It would be, well, almost near your knees, which might look very strange. In such circumstances, if it looks odd, you can recess it. But that is where the mitzvah mezuzah is, and it is not on the curved area. And I have seen mezuzahs being on the curved area. It is no good in such a place as possible.
So can I ask a question? I live in a gated development. The gates are at the front, you know, you drive in. Are you saying that the mezuzah has to be on that outer gate, where actually you go in and my foyer is a bit further on?
Well, are you sharing it with other people who might not be Jewish?
Well, they would have to be Jewish.
Yeah, well, it will certainly have to have a mezuzah. Yeah.
If it's got a lintel.
And has it got a lintel?
No. Oh, no, it hasn't. I don't know.
Ah, then you'd be free. Potter.
I was saying that archway is going to high-grade.
If you've got a very high opening, yes. interesting thing you raised, Leonard, because we said that the mezuzah goes in the top third.
But can you repeat the question?
We said high gate.
Alright.
Not high gate, high gate. Yeah. We said that mezuzah goes in the top third, apart from the top tefach. If you've got a very, very high opening, like you've got in warehouses, where you've got these huge shutters so that the vans and forklift trucks can drive in, and a place for storage does require a mezuzah. It's out of bracha, but storage, a warehouse, a garage needs a mezuzah. If you've got an extremely high opening, then the halacha is that the mezuzah does not go in the top third, because it will be out of your reach and out of your sight practically. Then the mezuzah goes shoulder height, where you can just reach it and kiss it if desired.
A cloakroom, are you going to come on to that?
A cloakroom.
The dimensions, are we
going
to come on to that?
I was going to mention it briefly. A cloakroom, if it's in a house, it's usually less than 4x4 amos. And the similar idea is a porch. When you come into your house, your porch leads into a main hallway, but from one door to the next door, it's usually less than 4x4. In which case, you will not make a bracha. You'll put up a mezuzah, but you won't make a bracha for an area which is less than 4x4. But then the next door which leads into the hallway, you will make the bracha. And that you'll put up the mezuzahs together, so one will patter the other one. What if you have
so
here...
Why is it needed if it's less than 4x4?
Pardon?
A room that's less than 4x4 does not need...
No, but you'll put one on without a bracha.
Why?
Because it's leading into the next room. And you might regard it all as part of one entity. So you will put a mezuzah on your front door without a bracha if it's just less than 4x4 for that bit which it's entering.
And
yes. Yes.
If the front door is the main door.
Question: if it's not a regular shape, that then. Yes. Sorry.
I say if the front door is the main door, then you may have like an inner door.
Yeah, that's like a porch.
One regards the front door as the main door. Yeah.
That's true, and it does say Beisecha Uvisha Orecho, but the area it's primarily serving is less than 4x4, and. An area less than 4x4 is not chayav mezuzah. So you might say that the chiyuv is for the inner front door. But you will put one on the outer front door without a mezuzah. Without a bracha. Sorry. Without a bracha.
Can I just mention one other thing?
You raised that
word. You mentioned about these PVC ones. Very often,
yes.
Apart from being narrow, they're also slightly angled.
Yes.
They're not perfectly 90 degrees with the outside measurements. It's 50 over 4. Whatever it is. It's not perfect, it's slightly angled as it goes inside. I don't know, this is the design. And very often that angle is facing outward rather than facing inward.
Yes, that is part of the problem.
But the only place you can put it is on that very narrow part. Slightly facing outward.
Look, at Hila, what one should try and do is mount on that angle something which can enable the mezuzah to become straight, facing inwards. I think I might have an illustration here to show you, but the chachila, the mezuzah should face inwards and not be at that angle where it's facing towards the street.
When you say 4x4, do you mean square?
Well,
a square area.
A 4x4 amos square, which is like 6 foot by 6 foot. If there's not a regular shape, the Beis Yosef says you are chayav mezuzah. And the Chazanish and the Taz are potem mezuzah, but you'll fix without a bracha.
Yeah, but if you had something 2x8, would that also require, because one dimension was greater, the other one was less?
Yes, but your square area, then you will fix but without a bracha. And that's the machlokas, as I said, between the Beis Yosef and the
other. No, 6 feet approximately,
that's what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you sometimes have walk-in wardrobes.
Yeah.
You will have sometimes walk-in freezers. They're not required. There are shilas asked though, which are recorded about maybe on your way out of the walk-in freezer or your way out of the walk-in wardrobe, you should have a mezuzah. But these don't require a mezuzah because they are quite small. Yeah, I'm going to come to back doors and when we. I'm going to try and deal with what do we mean by the right hand side, because sometimes it's very difficult to determine the right hand side. I won't be able to give lots of examples, but I will be able to give principles regarding time constraints. But if we just carry on where we were with these pictures, the picture number 6, you've got really two lintels there. You have a door and there's a lintel on top of the door, and then you have like a glass panel over the door frame, and then you have a further lintel. So if you're working out where is the top third, which is the correct lintel to measure from to work out where your top third is, because you've got two lintels to this door. Now, halacha is you go by the lower lintel, and the higher one is just something decorative. The lower lintel is the one to measure from, and you'll see, in fact, see on that picture that the mezuzah is not slanting. That's the minhag of the Shulchan Aruch, but the psak we have is that the mezuzah should slant inwards, less than 45 degrees. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that the mezuzah should be horizontal, and Rashi holds it should be straight. So we make a bit of a compromise in the halacha to bend it inwards, but not very much. If you can, it's sometimes you haven't got enough width on the door frame to make it slant inwards, and in those circumstances it can be straight, but l'chakilo it should be slanting. If we turn over and look at number 7, you've got one of these lovely patios where the roof is not really a proper roof. It's open, so you get a sort of protection from the sun, but not a protection from the rain. So the question is this: is this a ceiling or isn't it a ceiling? Because if there's no ceiling, you're not chayv mezuzah. Some will hold it is a ceiling, some will hold it isn't. So you'll put one on there, but without a bracha. A garden shed is storage, it has a ceiling, it's got proper side posts, you put on it a mezuzah. Yeah, and if you only use it as a sukkah and you don't use it for anything else all around the year, then it's only used for less than 30 days, and a sukkah does not require a mezuzah. But if you're going to use it around the year, which you normally do, then it requires a mezuzah.
You mentioned the side posts, it's very wide open. Okay, but this is very wide-ended.
Right.
Surely, if you're putting a mezuzah without a bracha on this,
yeah, but that was in the case of the folding door. We had a deles, we had a door.
Yes.
And the door was obstructing the side posts, and part of the door was like a choma, like a wall, because you couldn't walk through it. Here, in this picture, the whole space, you can walk through it. And since you can walk through it, it's clear where the mezuzah would go. You've got side posts, you've got a little archway, so you know that that is the start of the mashkuf, and you will measure a third way down where you put your mezuzah. In this case, though, you don't have a proper ceiling, and therefore you won't make a bracha. In the final illustration you have, which is number 8, you've got decorative Roman-style pillars, and this neoclassical feature has become quite popular. Do they require mezuzah? And the answer is no. Because these pillars are either there for decorative reasons, l'shem noi, or they are there for structural reasons, to give structural support. They are not doorways, and therefore they do not require a mezuzah at all. Now, a common problem is where do you put the mezuzah if you have to put it on the right hand side? Now, it's obvious when you come into your front door where the right hand side is. It's obvious when you go into your kitchen where the right hand side is. But there are many occasions where you can't really determine what's the right hand side, because you go in and you come out, or you have intercommunicating rooms, yeah? And both of those rooms lead from a doorway with their own door. So from the hallway, you have a mezuzah on the right hand side. So you have a lounge and you have a dining room. The dining room and the lounge are intercommunicating. You have a door going into the lounge, you have a door going into the dining room. Where do you put your mezuzah? And sometimes you go into your kitchen, and then you go into a morning room or breakfast room, and you're going from the breakfast room also into the kitchen. So maybe it should be the right hand side if you go more from the breakfast room into the kitchen. And then you might have a door from your breakfast room leading into your garage. And your garage and your garden, and your garage has a separate entrance for your car when you come in, but then when you get out your car, you can walk into the house, into your kitchen or into your morning room. And so your mezuzah should perhaps be on the right hand side from your garage. Or do we say when you're going from your breakfast room into your garage, you put it on the right hand side to that? So there are three important principles, and it goes in order of importance. Number 1, what is more panimi? What is more internal than another room? Derech biyoscha, the way of your coming. So the innermost room, as you go from one room into another room, then the mezuzah is on the right hand side for the next innermost room. So a hall is less penimi, internal, than a habitable room. So if your morning room leads into your kitchen, which then leads into your garage, then your mezuzah will be on your right hand side of your morning room, it'll be on the right hand side as you enter the kitchen from the morning room, and it'll be on the right hand side as you enter the garage, even though when you go out and cut your car, you come in through the door from the garage, it will be on the right hand side going from your kitchen into the garage. So Puskin's Rav Falk from Gates.
So it's always the right hand side as you're walking through that way.
Yes, because it's the most penimi from the house.
I remember I saw Rabbi Kemper many years ago, and he always used to say it's whatever comes from outside inwards, you go on the right hand. So it
depends.
When you talk, one second, when I mentioned about back gardens or back doors, he says, yeah, it should be on the right hand side. And he said, even if you, and the one which is most commonly used is the one you go into that's most commonly used. That's
well, I'll come to that in a moment.
If you've got a dining room and a lounge joined together, let's say, with a doorway.
Yes.
Then you put it on the right hand side from the dining room to the lounge, the lounge is the one you use most often.
Yeah, well, the next principle, if tanimi doesn't work, because you haven't got one internal to another, is ikka tashmisho. Which room is more prominent? Which room is perhaps more ancillary to the other room? So if you have an intercommunicating room and one is the lounge and the other one is used for storage of toys or whatever it is, then the main room is really the lounge and the other room which is used for storage is ancillary. So you're looking at which room is more prominent than the other, and the one which is more prominent, you put it on the right hand side. And then a hall is always secondary to room, because it's ikka tashmisho.
Into the room or from the room to the left?
So if you're going from a hall into a habitable room, then the main room is the habitable room, like the lounge or the diner. So your mezuzah will be on your right hand side as you enter that habitable room. You know.
But if you've got this playroom or whatever it is.
But if you have a playroom or a storage room,
it'll be on the left.
Which, as you enter the playroom. Right, so as you enter the playroom, yeah.
It'll be on the left
hand side, because the main room is the dining room, which where you come into from the storage room. Now, if the ikka tashmisho doesn't work, because sometimes the dining room and the lounge they're so complementary to each other, you can't say one is more important than the other, then what is ikka tashmisho? And then the poskim say there is a third criterion, which is heketzia. You look at where the hinges are. How does the door open? Alright, we'll come to it in a moment where there's no door. But if the door opens, what does the door open into? And then what the door opens into, you have it on the right hand side. Because usually doors open inwards into rooms. And that in is where do you have the hinges? Where the door opens into the other room, then you have the mezuzah on the right hand side. What if there is no door, you just have an opening? Then the halacha is, you decide for yourself.
Sliding door.
It's up to you. You say, well, I think you exercise your freedom of speech and your democratic rights to put the mezuzah on any side you prefer, or which one you feel is the more important room, that one will have the room, the mezuzah on the right hand side as you enter that room. So for some people the dining room is more important because that's where they eat, and others the lounge is more important. That's I noticed with the goyim they eat in the lounge watching TV on their settee, right? So for them, the main room is really the lounge and the settee, even though they're not chayav mezuzah. But for us, the shulchan, the domino mizbeach, we eat and we have the family around the table. It's usually the case that the dining room is more prominent than the lounge, but it's up to you to decide which room is more important.
And so the one that I found most puzzling was to go back to one about the garage, because if you're going, from the house into the kitchen, into the garage, the next thing you're doing is taking the car out and going out that way. So having to the garage is the most panimi.
I know, it's not the most panimi in the sense that when you're going out, you're going to go through the garage, but you've got two entrances to your garage. One is from your house and one is from the street.
Yeah.
And the main body, which is chayav mezuzah, is your house.
Yeah.
And your house is prominent and primary in relation to the garage.
So you think it was
the garage is ancillary to the house.
You would think there's a door between the kitchen and the garage. You would think it should be on the left because you're coming back
from through the
yes.
garage.
But you will also enter your garage from the house, and therefore it's the most panini room of the house, coming from your kitchen room and your morning room and your breakfast room, going into your garage. So that's why the stuck is that way. Now,
three criteria you said, panimi.
Yeah, three criteria. Number one, panimi, what's the most inward? If that doesn't work, then you go according to Ikka Tashmisho, what is the more prominent room? And if that doesn't work, then you go by Heketzi or by where the hinges are, how does the door open? And if that doesn't work, then you decide.
So primarily it will be panimi.
Yes. That's the primary one. And it goes in that order of importance. Panimi, Ikatashmisho, Heketzia, and then you decide.
And even if you can't access the room without unlocking it from the inside, to a garden, let's say. That's the reason why I mentioned. You know, you've got
most
to
lock
from a ladder from the dining room or lounge into the garden. Right? You can only unlock it from the inside because that's the way you normally go from the house to the garden. Yeah, I think you still have to have it on the right hand
yes.
side from the garden.
Yes, but then you're coming from the garden into the house.
Yes.
The garden isn't a room. Yeah.
As on the right hand side.
Eli, you
from the garden.
There's
also
advisory service when you're doing it.
We charge a small fee.
Yeah.
Yes. There's another important halacha which is often overlooked is the subject of tzniyus, and that is a mezuzah may not be open and visible in a place where you might be changing a baby's nappy or diaper, where a child goes on a potty. The mezuzah has to be covered, even though we said earlier the most ideal thing is that you can actually see the mezuzah. It has to be a covered mezuzah if there is a room where one is naked. Obviously in a room such as a bathroom toilet one doesn't have a mezuzah at all, but there is also a halacha which is not very well known, that if a husband and wife have a bedroom, usually the mezuzah is outside the door so it's not visible, but if their room leads into another room, then often there will be a mezuzah in the husband and wife's bedroom, and there is a problem there because the actual mezuzah, even if it's a covered mezuzah, is not really enough. Where marital relations take place, there should be a further temporary cover on that mezuzah, and it's often not a problem because mezuzahs are outside the door before you come in the room. But when there's a secondary room leading from the main bedroom, then there's a mezuzah in the room, and that mezuzah should have an additional cover besides the cover itself. If you have a cellar, like a trap door, you have a horizontal entrance to your mezuzah. According to most opinions, you don't have a mezuzah at all. Not necessary. Even though there are some who say, well, you can put it horizontally in the middle of the trap door entrance. Time is running out. Howard mentioned in his introduction, quite rightly, that we've got Chanukah coming up. We're in the month of Kislev. And there's an interesting thing brought by the Shevet HaLevi in his Droshas. In Shah Meo Veshivot, he says there is a Medrash which says that one of the things which the Greeks told us to stop doing, apart from Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Nilah, they tried to stop us from having mezuzah, because they knew how we see mezuzah as a fantastic protection. So they were telling us to remove our doors. And they wanted our doors to be open to the public place. Porutz. Because they knew that the bracha that we had from Bilam was Ma Tobu Alecho Yaakov Mishkno Secho Yisrael, that the doorways of one family were not looking into the doorways of another family. And they were trying to remove our doorways in order to remove the badge and protection which the Jewish people have in their Siman of Tzniyus. They knew that we regard the mezuzah as a protection and that it defies nature. Their attitude was just to go according to nature, and they wanted to insult our mitzvahs. So because we were so keen to keep the mitzvah of mezuzah, and we defied the Greeks by having our doorways, we were rewarded by getting an additional mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the whole nace of Chanukah was also L'mailo min ha-teva, just like the mezuzah protects us, and is L'mailo min ha-teva because God is giving his protection to us, so also the miracle of Ner Chanukah was beyond the scope of nature, L'mailo min ha-teva, and that in turn strengthened our mitzvah mezuzah, as well as giving us a new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And that's why the two go together. Mezuzah b'yamin, the Ner Chanukah b'smol. And the Ner Ishuveso is the mitzvah of Chanukah. It's a mitzvah on the household, just like the mezuzah is a mitzvah on the house and on the household. And the two together are fighting the external elements that we should be protected by our Kodesh Baruch Hu, both by our mitzvah of mezuzah on the right and our mezuzah of Ner Chanukah on the left. I wish you all a very happy Hanukkah. Thank you.